Chapter 6, Effective Communication. Now, we will discuss what is actually important when you talk of effective communication. The 7 C's that enhance effective communication. Skills to be acquired to become an effective communicator. Importance of feedback and listening in communication. The Johari window and levels of communication. So we start, of course, with 7 C's and then we move ahead with the skills. That how does one become an effective communicator? Effective communication is two-way information sharing processes which involves one party sending a message that is easily and clearly understood by the receiving party. Successful people who seem to have it all are there not because they were lucky, but because they have captured the heart and conquered the minds of hundreds of others who helped boost them rung by rung to the top of the social or corporate ladder. So when we say that it's successful people, they have it all due to luck. No, it's a lot to do with how they have been as individuals. And one aspect is effective communication too. Their ability to be effective, their ability to reach out to one and all, their ability to make people understand in a manner whereby the people can relate to what they say. You know, at times if you're given instructions, probably you would say, I'm so lost. I don't understand what he or she said. It's maybe because the person doesn't have a connect with the audience or the team. Even if you meet someone for the first time, there can be a connect through effective communication. Persons in all professions need to cultivate communication skills. They could be doctors, engineers, chartered accountants, actors and others in the entertainment industry, managers of all kinds of organizations, educators as well as persons engaged in business, all need to communicate effectively to succeed in their professions. Effective communication by business managers facilitates information sharing among company employees and can substantially contribute to maintenance of motivational workforce, increase in productivity and its commercial success. What does this mean? That when you talk of managers, communication, of course, a very important aspect, motivating the workforce. Again, effective motivation. If I'm a manager and if I say, all right, please complete the project on time, then where's the motivation level? Whereas if I say, all right, we've got to complete this on time, we look forward to the incentives once this gets done. So the motivation in terms of tone, the motivation in terms of being effective as a communicator, the motivation in terms of capturing the hearts and minds of the people who are listening. To communicate effectively, you must have a message that is well thought, skills to deliver it, approach to establish a rapport, and a desire or intention to listen. Let us have a look at all the elements to master the art of effective communication. Clarity implies emphasis on a specific message or goal at a time rather than trying to achieve too much at once. The clarity in communication makes understanding easier. Complete clarity of thoughts and ideas enhances the meaning of the message. So, as discussed, that clarity, that means that I am sending you the message with appropriate information. I know what exactly I have to tell you to get this moving ahead. Clear messages make use of exact and appropriate concrete words. The words chosen for the message should convey your ideas without any ambiguity. If the word you choose has two meanings, the chances of receiver interpreting it by using the wrong meaning are very high. Do not use short forms as your reader may be not familiar with them. Yes, certain words which are difficult for the reader to understand should not be expressed. I need to know whether the reader or the audience will understand what I'm saying. So, a lot to do with the kinds of words used, a lot to do maybe with putting it forward in simple words. That means words which are easy to pick up, words which are easy to understand. So the audience will feel content and will be able to retain. Completeness. The communication must be complete. It should convey all the facts required by the audience. This will happen only if you assign required time to collect data and present it in a comprehensive manner. Claims included in the message have to be supported by facts and figures. So when you talk of completeness, it's with facts and figures. Provide the sources from where the data was collected by you. It is to a great extent important for the audience to know where the information has been from. Is it via books? Is it via internet? So what is the source of data? Introductory paragraph should explain the objective of your communication in clear words. The receiver knows what to expect and gets in the mood that it is receptive to the message to follow. Introductory paragraph should explain the objective of your communication in clear terms. The receiver now knows what to expect and gets into mood that is receptive to the message that follows. Of course, the introductory paragraph is the most important paragraph because it explains in clear terms what is your objective. It's a start of the paragraph. So it's a very clear and direct approach and idea which is there in the first paragraph. After you finish your message, you can summarize critical points once again to add its correct understanding. Consideration, the you attitude. When I'm writing an email to you, when I'm communicating to you, how empathizing I am. Am I looking into your thought process or understanding your thought process? Am I being an orator whereby I want to look into the needs of the audience? Consideration implies stepping into the shoes of others. Effective communication must take the audience into consideration. The receiver's viewpoints, background, mindset, education level. Make an attempt to envisage your audience, their requirements, emotions, as well as problems faced by them, and compose your message accordingly. I should look into the needs of the audience. It has to be the you attitude. I should understand what you as an audience are facing in terms of the problems and issues. I should come up with effective solutions which suit you and which are as per your thought process to a great extent. So I need to focus ideally on the requirements, emotions, and I need to look into the well-being of the audience. Ensure that self-respect of the audience is maintained and their emotions are not ignored. Modify your words in the message to suit the audience's needs while ensuring that your message is complete as well as clear. So what I put forward to you, it should sound complete, it should sound there is enough information, there should be enough information for you to ideally reach an effective conclusion. And at the same time, the way it is put forward to you with a clarity in mind, that same clarity you should have when you are the receiver. So it is put forward to you in such a simple, direct, precise manner that for the receiver, it is equally effective in terms of information. Thirdly, it implies taking into consideration both viewpoints as well as feelings of the receiver. That means you're talking of the viewpoint and the feelings. You're focusing on emotions and the views. Courteous message is positive and focused at the audience. It makes use of terms showing respect for the receiver of the message. It is not at all biased. It shows or it comes with a great deal of respect. So there's no question of biasness, prejudice being reflected when you talk of being polite. In business, no one can afford to be impolite or discourteous. Discourteous people will be elbowed out of business. If we observe, actually, a lot of successful people are extremely courteous and polite. We often confuse business-like as though it is a curt approach. That means, curt means something, you know, whereby you're a bit rude. But being business-like is not being rude. But being curt can be a bit rude. A business-like person is an efficient person. Efficiency involves genuine and sincere courtesy. A business letter should have tact, sincerity, and politeness. So being polite, being honest, being direct, and the skill in terms of writing, whereby you will get convinced with what is written to you. Do not hesitate to compliment or congratulate the receiver if he or she deserves it. Self-awareness, a very important aspect for anyone who is an effective communicator or even otherwise, for any individual. When we talk of self-awareness, how aware you are of what? Knowledge of one's own attitudes, prejudices, perceptions on one hand, and competent handling of one's interpersonal communication on the other is required for effective communication. Now, why do I need to introspect? If we are saying self-awareness, I need to be aware of my prejudices, biases, attitudes, and perceptions. That means I need to introspect, I need to be aware. Why is this important? Because if I'm prejudiced or biased towards a particular person, then it'll somewhere show in my behavior in terms of nonverbal communication. It will somewhere probably show in my facial expressions, and it'll somewhere show in terms of my responses and reactions. So I need to understand that somewhere this will make me a different person. It will affect my ability to communicate too. Many persons are not aware of the attitudes they have. If you are aware of an attitude that might arouse hostility in a particular receiver, you are likely to take care not to let it be reflected in what you communicate. If you are aware that a certain type of behavior of yours will make the receiver feel indifferent, if you are aware, you will not show that behavior. Why? Because you are aware that the receiver dislikes this behavior in you. So automatically, you will realize, you will become aware, and you will avoid that kind of behavior. But this means you are very much aware. And when you're very much aware, you will be able to differentiate your behavior in terms of what can be good for others or your behavior which may not be good for others. But if you are unaware of the attitude, you will not make conscious efforts to keep it under control. And to that extent, your communication may fail in spite of your communication skills. It is very important that I look into my own flaws, I look into my own issues and problems, and I'm able to be aware and deal with them. Because my flaws, my issues, problems, biases will definitely affect people around me. When I say flaws, F-L-A-W-S, if I have this negative point in me that I'm always being critical, and it's called destructive criticism of the people in my organization, then the people will not take it well. They will always see me with a negative approach or attitude. So I need to become aware that when it comes to criticism, I probably should do constructive criticism, whereby you criticize but in a manner which will be more with empathy. So the person will be able to improve faster and better. Self-control. Gaining self-control is important, and it takes time and requires patience. Effective communication is not there on some occasions because the communicator has not thought about the effects the words used can have on others. Very often we realize people are aggressive. They may not even realize that they're doing more harm than good. They may not even realize that that kind of behavior is upsetting the others around. But we need to understand that if I'm aware that my behavior is causing unhappiness to a lot of people, then I should control my aggression. I should be able to keep a tab or a check on my behavior. And if I keep a tab or a check on my behavior, I will be able to control the flaws I have in me. The receivers are offended by these badly selected words when the communicator had no intention in passing on the message. Get out of office. Get out of my cabin. That's rude. aggression. A better way of saying is, I suggest you leave my cabin now. So, it may not really pinch the receiver as much as the other statements, which are very rude. On other occasion, when the receivers are not in agreement with what the communicator is conveying, they interrupt and disturb the flow of communication. So, that too needs to be checked, because when the sender is giving a message, interruption from the receiver's point of view can cause disturbance, and the sender may forget to put forward important information. The sender ideally may not be able to convey what exactly is on his or her mind, and the sender may ideally lose out on giving important information, which is very crucial at that point of time. Self-control. We continue with self-control. Especially in business environment, such interruptions can prove costly, and it is necessary that parties exercise self-control. Self-control can be maintained by building your self-confidence. When you feel confident, you maintain your cool and do not get excited when your views are challenged. Now, it does not always mean that if you're not confident, you lack self-control. There are chances that you may be extremely confident and so you lack control too, self-control too. Since you're extremely confident, you feel you don't need to have a control on your words or in terms of your behavior and actions. That means somewhere you are justifying your responses and reactions because you are confident or maybe overtly confident. Use breathing and pauses to your advantage. There is power in pausing. Now, when I'm giving a speech or when I'm discussing with an audience, if I pause for a few seconds, it gives a chance to the audience to think. It gives a chance to the audience to introspect. It gives the chance to an audience to understand what you're saying and interpret at the same level as you. One research concluded that pausing causes an audience to lean in and listen, so be more focused. It helps you to emphasize your points and allow the listener time to digest as to what has been said. It also helps to make your communication come across as more compelling, and it makes your speech easier to listen to. So, how ideally do we develop this habit of having control, say, on our anger, on our biases, prejudices, something which we don't like, probably showing, having a frown when someone whom we do not like comes in front of us. Take deep breaths to study yourself before, take deep breaths to steady yourself before you begin communicating. Deep breaths definitely help. It calms you down. It gets you more composed. Get into the habit of regular breathing during a conversation. That will help you to keep a steady, calm voice. It will also keep you more relaxed. It's a known fact. When you're calm, you don't even realize you're breathing. When you're angry, you will definitely realize that you're breathing heavily. So, we need to ideally realize that at all points of time, the breath should be steady and calm. Keeping silence during communication is difficult but necessary for efficiency of communication. At times, it is better to be in silence. You can control yourself, but you cannot prevent another party to communication from conveying messages that are untrue, hurting or insulting. You cannot prevent any other party to communication. That means you cannot stop someone from giving you information, which could be false, which could be a lie, which could be untrue. But we need to understand that you, at the same time, if you feel it is correct to speak up, then you can. Otherwise, if you feel it is better to be in silence, silence can be followed. Self-control, we continue with it. Holding one's tongue is difficult, but if you have the ability to maintain peace and keep silent, until you reach the right moment to express yourself, the interpersonal communication is bound to be more effective. It is understood that at the right time you speak up. Then, of course, it means that till then you have been in silence, which is worth it. You know this is the right time or correct time to speak up. Say you're in a group, you're working for a project. You realize that most of them are not concerned because you're putting in maximum effort. At the same time, it makes no sense complaining to people at top management. But when given a chance, you definitely can put forward in better words whereby maximum effort was put forward by you. This happens very often in organizations. So it is up to you that at the correct time, how do you put this forward without making it sound like a complaint, and at the same time keeping control by not letting that information out till you feel, now I've got an opportunity, let me do this. Let me mention it, but in a very casual manner, not as a complaint. At the same time, you will be in a position to conserve your energy. Yes, because you have kept control over anger, irritation, frustration, whatever it may be. Do not let other people trigger a response from you. You and only you should choose how and when you want to communicate. Yes. When you talk of other people letting, you know, you behave in a particular manner, we need to understand that a lot is up to you. How you behave should be decided by you and not by what others say and tell you. That means not through other people's responses or reactions. The ability to be pleasant and clear. When I say ability to be pleasant and clear, what does it mean? This is another skill suitable for effective communication. It is a primary requirement of successful interpersonal communication. It takes practice to be clear in one's purpose and ideas and to state them coherently. That means to put the information in a logical manner, to put it forward clearly. For a scheduled meeting or a written message, you can think through the points and prepare what you want to convey. With practice, it should be possible to speak clearly without prior preparation. It depends. Some people prefer preparing. Even if you prepare, it should sound natural when you communicate. It should not sound that you have studied this and put it forward. Though, over a period of time, you have enough experience and you can put forward easily. You do not have to literally prepare to put forward information. For oral effective communication, it may take time to develop a pleasant, clear, cheerful, congenial way of speaking. A lot depends on you. Are you motivated as a speaker? Are you having clarity in terms of speech? Are you probably giving information which is useful and required to the audience? This all probably happens gradually. This all also happens if you have a control over what exactly you want to say and not say, and also the ability to realize that I need to let the audience feel that they have understood. So I should have the ability to be pleasant and clear. Pleasant appearance and friendly body language provides head start to effective communication. Yes, it's a known fact that friendly body language will definitely pave the way for effective communication. To achieve this objective, make eye contact. Yes, we're not saying swim into somebody's eyes, but we need to look into the person's eyes. So eye contact is very important. Vary the voice and avoid monotone, the same kind of tone. Variation in voice, very important. Be brief and to the point. Do not wander. Do not digress. Even if there's digression, it should be minimum. You need to come back to the source. Ask questions. It keeps the listener involved, ensures their attention. Very important. At the start of the encounter, move and speak slower, lower and less. Let the other person get comfortable and familiarized with the environment, right? It's just a start. People are yet probably getting used to the environment. They're listening to you. They're yet in that environment where they've just come in. So getting used to that aspect. Do not talk loud, fast, or move frequently or engage into any gestures, right? Because they're just getting used to you, your voice, to an extent, the body language. This way, the other party accepts you and then later is ready for more quick delivery, body language, including warm gestures. So gradually there's a shift with how you start, how comfortable the audience gets, then probably they get extremely comfortable, and by the time your body language also shows that you are to an extent a friendly person, at the same time you want interaction and a rapport. Remember, everyone is hungry of praise and appreciation. If a person feels comfortable and good about himself or herself in your presence, he or she will see in you the qualities that he or she admires. If a person feels, I wish I was as patient as him or her. I wish I was as cheerful as him or her. Those are the qualities that say he or she admires. So you feel that when you admire that quality in somebody else, you to an extent wish to be that. The opposite is also true. If she or he is uncomfortable and embarrassed about himself or herself in your presence, he or she will see in you qualities she likes the least. Now this is very contradictory. That means if person A is somewhere uncomfortable in your presence, it's because person A sees in himself or herself the qualities which probably she dislikes. So it's both ways. Either I see a person and I feel, wow, I wish I was as patient, as cheerful, and I wish to be that way, or feel, wow, I wish, you know, I was as confident in him as him or her, or reverse, gosh, this person is so aggressive and I'm the same too. I don't like this person. Why? Because I resent being an aggressive person, and when I see it in an opposite person, I would resent the opposite person too. Pick the moments when the other person feels most at ease and happy to move the relationships forward. So it's like we have to pick up what is positive in every individual, because ultimately as human beings we all have negative points. So from everybody we pick up, we keep learning, we keep improving ourselves, we keep introspecting and become better human beings. Do not make suggestions or requests when they're acting in an inappropriate way. I guess everybody acts in an inappropriate way sometime or the other. It is best not to give suggestions and requests unless asked. Development of good manners and etiquette. Etiquette, of course, is manners, right? Knowledge and practice of good manners makes communication more effective. You need to be well-mannered right from the start. Introductions are the few moments in which the crucial first impressions are created on all sides. The first impression, within the first few seconds, it is easy to gauge a person. Introductions play a very crucial role. In both business and social situations, you should always introduce younger people to older people, junior ranking professionals to senior ranking professionals, business contact and staff to clients, personal acquaintances and family members to business professionals when attending a function, and guests to their hosts. There has to be space between function and end. So when you talk of introduction, who is introducing to whom and how is it put forward? So this is considered to be basic etiquette when you talk of younger people to older people. It is considered to be a norm, N-O-R-M. A norm, that means this has to be followed. In other words, as a show of respect, introduce those of a lower status to those of a higher status, whether social or professional. As antiquated and unfair as this may sound, this protocol for introducing people is considered socially acceptable and often expected in India and many other countries. Someone else may say, why should a person of a higher status not be introduced to a person of a lower status? Well, I guess this is the way it's been done. There may be arguments, discussions on this, but we assume this is what is followed. When someone has just been introduced to you, your response should be genuine, short and simple. You should also repeat the person's name at the end of your greeting. Very important. Repeating the name of the person you were just introduced to serves two purposes. It shows polite respect and it helps you to remember the person's name. Yes, definitely. It gives also a sense of belongingness to the person since you are remembering and repeating the person's name. Try and give the compliment in a timely manner. That's if at all you wish to give a compliment, right? And the compliment should sound genuine. Do not wait until you are leaving a dinner party to praise the food, for example. You can do so when you first taste it. A spontaneous response always feels more genuine. It should sound and look natural. In case you have not been introduced, do so yourself. One can, with a lot of confidence and enthusiasm, introduce himself or herself. In business meetings earlier, you were supposed to use both your name and surname. These days, it looks like your name alone can serve the purpose. Return compliments you received with a polite thank you. Very important. It's about being, you know, having those manners or having the etiquette. Never say it's nothing, you're too kind to me or any other expression. You must thank the person. This kind of a phrase, you're too kind to me, will not be appreciated. The way you stand, walk and sit all make a big impression. Good posture makes you appear taller and slimmer and you will seem more confident and positive. Very important to have an effective posture. Very important to stand in a manner whereby you're showing your enthusiasm and your confidence. Hold your head high, keep your back straight, and pull your shoulders back. Tread lightly, no clumping, thundering footsteps. Even when you walk, walk with grace, a positive attitude. Do not drag your feet to shuffle. How you sit is very important. Women should keep the knees together when seated, preferably with their ankles crossed. This is more of etiquette. Men should avoid sitting with their legs excessively wide apart and should never tap their feet or repeatedly jiggle their leg up and down. It is assumed that if a person taps his feet or her feet or repeatedly, you know, jiggle their leg up and down, it's a sign of restlessness. So it's extremely important for the person to ideally be seated in a calm manner. That means ideally in a manner whereby you are, of course, showing etiquette and at the same time not showing restlessness or irritation, because it is easily shown in the body language.